So we're going to get into our 1 John reading now, and we're starting a series on the book of 1 John. As we get into it, 1 John is encouraging those who already trust in Jesus to stay true to what they already believe. So there's probably been a conflict in the church that 1 John is being, to whom 1 John is being written. So imagine that, a conflict in the church. So it was happening all the way back then. And there's this encouragement for how the church is to be based on who our God is for us. So as we're going to read in 1 John over the course of the series, we'll hear God is light, God is love, and so that too is how we're to live with one another and out in the world, and we have fellowship with God, and so we also are to have faithful fellowship with each other. So here's a reading from 1 John chapter 1. We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. This life was revealed, and we have seen it and testify to it and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. What we have seen and heard, we also declare to you, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and we do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think there's this beautiful phrase that says, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And 1 John encourages us to walk in that light, in the light of God. But the passage goes on to say what that walking in light means. It means we have fellowship with each other, and that we admit when we fall short. We admit when we have sin. And I don't think we like to do that, do we? Do we like to admit that we fall short, that we have sin? How often does something go wrong and we immediately want to blame something or someone else? I tend to be someone who loses my cell phone in my own home quite frequently. And most of the time, like, usually I admit that I'm the one that lost it. But every now and then, if my family's been home all day, instead of admitting I lost it, I want to jump to the conclusion, like, did you take my phone? Did you move it? And once in a while, I'll find that it's been put under something, and I feel vindicated. Like, yes, it's not my fault. Even though perhaps I was the one who put something on top of it. Who knows? But how often does something happen, and we don't want to see that it's us that made the mistake? I think of this great line from a Taylor Swift song that says, it's me, it's me, I'm the problem, it's me. But more often than not, we are more than happy to notice other people's problems, not our own. We're great at pointing out or noticing other people's bad, other people's sin, because if we can focus on their stuff and how it's so much worse than our stuff, then we can just keep looking at that, and we don't have to deal with our own sin, our own bad. We can ignore it. And 1 John says that that is self-deception. We human beings are super good at self-deception. And looking at 1 John, Elizabeth Johnson, the scholar, she notes that at that time there was probably this separate group within the community that had claimed They believed they had already arrived spiritually. They thought that how they lived, they were in perfect fellowship with God and free from all sin. And so the writer of 1 John is speaking to that situation and saying, hold on. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth's not in us. But if we confess our sins, she knows that the alternative to self-deception is to let the pure healing light of God shine into the dark corners of our lives. It is to confess our sins, because we're assured Jesus Christ is our advocate and the one who removes the stain of sin. Back when I was studying to be a pastor, we need to do something. It's called clinical pastoral education. And it's where we go into like a hospital and we're basically a chaplain intern. And so a lot of it is visiting people in the hospital, but a big part of clinical pastoral education is you have to do all this introspection and group work and work with your supervisor to really delve in who you are and why you do what you do. Some of it is not so fun. And they talk about, with us, our shadow side, that every person has a shadow side. A side of us we'd rather hide away and pretend isn't there, that we don't want to see. But we need to admit it, kind of bring it to the light, or we deceive ourselves. And I think many of us have heard stories in the news or maybe in our own communities, not necessarily here, but stories of faith leaders or people of faith who've not done that. They've appeared as super faithful people, but they've hidden away some pretty dark secrets. I think about a famous faith leader who was in Europe, and it was someone I kind of revered. He had started these beautiful communities of faith for people who had often been cast aside and not valued. And people felt welcome in these communities of faith. Some of them are still existing today and doing great ministry and helping people find belonging. But after his death, people came forward, especially women, and shared how he had abused his power and had abused their trust and abused them. So on the outside, this faith leader seemed so devout and to do such good. But there was this shadow side that was not brought to the light of God. It was not shared with anyone else. And it came out in ways that deeply harmed people. One scholar wrote that in 1 John, to walk in the light as he himself is in the light, is not to pretend we're flawless, but to own up to the sins that rupture our relationship with God and with each other. To walk in the light is to acknowledge that Jesus is the one who brings about forgiveness and we need him. There's a book that came out several years ago called Unbinding the Gospel, and the author, her name's Martha Grace Reese, she talks about some things that can get in the way of following Jesus. And one of the things she names is alluring distractions. She could have said tempting distractions, but she uses this term alluring distractions. These are things that make us lose focus or draw our attention away from what God is calling us to do. And she writes, "Oh, these alluring distractions are brutal. They can be anything. Although some top contenders can be food, praise and recognition, you can kind of think about, do any of these hold true for you? An attraction to a person, checking your social media constantly or scrolling, ongoing, online sexual searches, spending money, and drinking too much. These are all kind of some top contenders. An alluring distraction distorts and captivates, it pulls us away from our focus and what God's calling us to do." And she notes that when we're tired, when we're emotionally isolated, stretched too thin, not in good spiritual shape, we are a lot more vulnerable to this type of distraction. She says the best way of coping is to talk with somebody you trust. Pray, get some sleep, go for a walk, work with a counselor or an accountability group or a 12-step group. And then this next part is what's kind of stayed with me since I first read it. I think it's awesome. She says, how can you tell if you're dealing with an alluring distraction? Perhaps the best clue is if you feel like tucking it away out of other people's sight. If you feel like hiding something you're doing or thinking, she writes, tell someone about it. If you feel hesitant to be open with some trusted person, you might be dealing with an alluring distraction. She says, what do you do then? Tell someone about it. Light and air can work wonders on alluring distractions. 1 John already gets this, right? God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And so 1 John encourages us to unveil that shadow side, to bring to light the things we'd rather not admit with God and, like, with a trusted person. It doesn't necessarily mean laying it all out there on social media or telling everyone, oversharing, but finding a trusted person. We read, if we confess our sins, God, who's faithful and just, will forgive us. Like, we can freely confess because we all have things to confess. We're all in the same boat. And we are promised forgiveness in Jesus Christ. So what holds us back? Now, if you have a hard time knowing where to start, like, how do I start confession or seeing what these sins are? I think a great place to start is actually the Ten Commandments. And not just the Ten Commandments as you read them in the Bible, but look at Luther's small catechism and the explanation for them, because it expands, helps us have a broader understanding of what those commandments mean. And I just so happen to have some handouts out there on the white table when you walk out the door. And if we run out, because so many people want to do this, I'll make some more. But you could just pick a couple commandments a day. It might take 5 minutes. It doesn't need to take a long time. But you do something like take the first commandment, you shall have no other gods. What does it mean? We're to fear, love, and trust God above all things. So to confess would be to say, God, I have trusted in some other things. Money, my own skills, my own abilities, my own self. I've trusted this far above you, God. Please forgive me. Help me to devote my life to you again. Amen. Right? That's easy confession, way to do it. And then the next day, move on to another one, or take a couple, two a day. And once you get through all 10, start again, because we're never going to get it right. We keep needing to come back and confessing to God. And the point of the Ten Commandments is to point out where we're falling short and how much we need Jesus. We can't rely on our own goodness. We need Jesus' goodness. So Martin Luther wrote these beautiful explanations to the Ten Commandments. And he himself was so faithful and just did this amazing reform to bring the church and people back to Jesus. But he also made huge mistakes. He wrote great things, and he also wrote some horrible things that had damage. Like, he wrote things against people who were Jewish. And the Lutheran Church has tried to apologize and ask for forgiveness for that, but it's out there. And it reminds us that even when we are immersed in faith, when we're doing good, we fall short. That we can do harm even at times when we think we're and trying to do good. So we bring it and ourselves again and again back to God, who is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us, wash us clean. And we do it not just for us and our relationship with God, but 1 John says we walk in the light, we bring our stuff to the light, so that we can have faithful fellowship and right relationship with each other. So that we can be a faith community that confesses and a faith community that forgives one another. Because we're following Jesus, who 1 John said has come for this whole world. And Jesus is ever ready to forgive and to help us start again. Amen.